Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life this morning. I'm Steve Klein. It's great to have you listening to our program. Hope that everything is getting off to a good start for you this morning and that you're looking forward to getting out and worshiping God today. We'd love to have you do that with us at the Eastside Church of Christ. We meet at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama, just off Highway 31 in Athens. We meet at 9 o'clock this morning for Bible study and worship, and we'd love to have you come out and be with us as we study God's Word together and worship Him who's loved us and given us His Son so that we might have a hope of eternity. If you can't join us this morning for our Bible study and worship, you can check us out online. Our services are live streamed on Facebook, our Facebook page, Eastside Church of Christ in Athens, Alabama, or you can check out our website online, eastside-church.org, eastside-church.org. You can click on the media tab and the live streaming and watch the services there. But come out and be with us in person if you can. We'd love to get to know you, meet you, talk about the Bible with you, and discuss with you the way that leads to life. That's what we do here on this program. And we've been looking for the last few weeks at some statements that Jesus makes, known as the Beatitudes, in Matthew chapter 5, in the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. He taught the people, saying in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So Jesus pronounces these blessings on those who have certain attitudes, dispositions of life, and behaviors. And if we have these attitudes and behaviors, will be richly blessed as a consequence of that. To be blessed is to be imparted with something from God that is good, and it comes from oftentimes meeting conditions that He's laid down for us. He blesses all men with certain things, but here certain people who do certain things are promised certain blessings. And certainly these are blessings that we all want to have. We've talked about several of these statements already. And so this morning we'll be looking at the statement that Jesus makes in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." You know, the human heart muscle is a fascinating thing. It's not exactly what Jesus is talking about here. As we know, He's talking about the spiritual heart of man, but think about the heart muscle that pumps blood through our bodies, beating about 80 times a minute, every day, for an entire lifetime. God designed the heart for this task, the physical heart, and a healthy heart is entirely dedicated to it. That's what all it does is pump blood, right? And it does its job well for, as we said, an entire lifetime. It's only when some part of the heart is not dedicated to its purpose because of disease or decay that heart trouble arises. Well, as we said, man has another heart that is spiritual. It's the central place of thoughts and emotions and desires. It too must be entirely dedicated to its purpose, or a human being's not going to function properly. Again, Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." He's not talking about those who have a good blood pump beating in their chest, but He's talking about those who have the spiritual purpose, desire, thoughts, and emotions that are going to please God. Without purity of heart, we cannot come close to God in this life, much less the life to come. Again, this program is named The Way That Leads to Life, and if we want to have life, we must be where God is, for He is the giver of life. But we don't really have spiritual life in this world if we're not close to God, and certainly we won't have it in the next world if we're not close to God. Way back in the Psalms in Psalm 24 and verse 3, the psalmist asked this question: "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in His holy place?" In other words, who can come close to God? Who can get near to Him? Who can see Him? He answers his own question. He says this. He says, "He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully." So it's only those with pure hearts that can see God. But what does it mean to have a pure heart? Maybe we should ask that question and consider that for a while. The pure heart is clean. It's been cleansed of everything that's defiled and everything that's not right. It's also a single-minded heart. That is, it has a single purpose. It's dedicated to do one thing, and that is to please God. The psalmist prayed in Psalm 51 in verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Both of those aspects of the heart are needed if we're to have a pure heart. The first of them is cleanness. We must be clean from sins and sinful desires. We must be purified to be standing right in God's eyes. The other part of a pure heart is we must be steadfast. He says, the psalmist does, "Create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me." So your physical heart, it beats all the time, right? It doesn't just beat sometimes and then quit for a while and then beat a little later on. If it did that, you'd be dead. And so it is spiritually. Our spiritual heart needs to be steadfast. It needs to work all the time. It needs to keep on keeping on. That's what steadfastness really means. And so for us to be pure in heart, we have a heart that's been cleansed, but we also have a heart that's steadfast. It continually does what God designed it to do. In the 119th Psalm, in verse 1, there the psalmist says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his commandments, who seek him with the whole heart." So our entire heart then is to be dedicated to seeking God and seeing God. And the way that that is done is by doing what God has asked us to do, dedicating ourselves to following his word and his will so that we might come close to him, so that we might see him in this life and more especially in the life to come. But a pure heart then is one that's single-minded. It has a wholehearted dedication. It's not mixed with other motives. If you go to the grocery store and try to find some sort of fruit juice that's 100% fruit juice, you'll have, if you look at the label and the marketing, is that, you know, a lot of these are such and such a juice, apple juice or grape juice or whatever it is. But if you look at the label at the ingredients, you find that some juices are actually mainly water, or they're made up of some other juice that's not even named, in the marketing of that juice. So certain cranberry juices, for instance, might have some other kind of fruit juice in them. The same with a number of other juices, actually, once you start to look at the ingredients. So it's not 100% whatever kind of juice it says it might be. We as Christians need to understand, if we're going to see God, our hearts need to be 100% what he wants them to be. It's not just 10%. It's not mixed with something else. But the purity of heart is heart that's not mixed with other desires or other things, but has God solely as its purpose and as its goal. In James chapter 4 and verse 8, James says this, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." There are two problems that James identifies with the people that he's talking to here who should draw near to God, need to draw near to God, ought to want to see his face, to seek him and to see his face. But there are two problems with them. First of all, they have dirty hands. All right, so they've done things that are wrong, that are sinful. And so James tells them to purify their hearts and to cleanse themselves. And we'll talk about in a minute in another passage how to do that. But here James says you need to purify your hearts if you want to draw near to God. That goes right along with what Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 5. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." It's those who are pure in heart who are going to get to see him. So we must purify our hearts. The other problem that the people that James is talking to had is that they were double-minded. They did not have this single-minded approach to seeking God and to serving God. They were not trying to find him and be with him with their whole heart, as the psalmist had said to do in Psalm 119 that we read a minute ago, to seek him with their whole heart. This concept of double-mindedness, where sometimes you're wanting to seek God, but then sometimes you're focused on the things of the world and leave God out of your thinking and your desires and your emotions. See, that's double-mindedness, and really it's double-heartedness as well. So James tells these people, you got to purify your hearts. And the problem is not only that you've got dirty hands because you've been sinning, but you're double-minded. You don't have this single purpose in to please God and to follow Him and to see Him. So that brings us then to this question we mentioned a minute ago, as James says these people need to purify their hearts. How does a person purify his or her heart? Well, let's look over, if you're at home, you have your Bible, you might want to turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 22 and 23. Here Peter is writing to people who are Christians who had purified their hearts and had a relationship with God. So notice what he says about them in 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. He says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So there are several important things that are shared with us in this verse. We need to unpack this verse pretty carefully to understand really how it is that a person purifies their hearts, because Peter says that these people that he's writing to had purified their souls, and then he says later in the same sentence that they had pure hearts, that they were to love one another with pure hearts. So they purified their souls, and as we often know, there's a connection. Sometimes they're used synonymously, the terms heart and soul. And so here they purified their souls, and they wound up with pure hearts. How did they purify their souls? Well, he says, you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. In obeying the truth. This is how the soul is purified. Well, what truth had they obeyed to purify their souls? What is it exactly that you're supposed to do to purify your soul and your heart? And he explains it. He says, verse 23, having been born again. Having been born again. That's how they purified their souls, purified their hearts. They were born again. Of course, Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3 that you must be born again, that unless you are born again, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Notice this discussion that Jesus has with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Again, if you have your Bible and you're at home, you might want to look over there with me at this familiar text. This man named Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night in John 3 and verse 2, and he says, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God. No one can do these signs unless God is with him. Jesus answered him and said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now notice the connection here. Jesus said, it's the pure in heart. They're blessed because they'll see God. Here Jesus says in John 3, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so this is this process of the new birth, where one's entire being is revitalized and begins life anew, if you will. When does that occur? How does that occur? It occurs through an act of faith, where a person confesses their faith in the Son of God, as the Son of God, turns away from their sinful behavior, and is baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins. It's in that act of baptism, then, that we come to the final thing that we must do in the process of purification. When you come to Romans 6, the Apostle Paul describes that in some detail. He says, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? That's Romans 6 and verse 3. Then in verse 4, he says, Romans 6 and verse 4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Well, if you've got a new life, what have you got? What are you? You're born again. And if you're born again by obeying this truth, then you have a pure heart. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And what we've learned from 1 Peter chapter 2, from John chapter 3, and now looking, tying it all together in Romans chapter 6, what we've learned in these last few moments is that if we're to have a pure heart, we must be born again, and that the culmination of the process of being born again is being baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins, so that we might rise to walk in this new life, this born again life. It's really pretty simple. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22 now and put all of that together in this passage that the Apostle Peter shares with us. You've purified your souls, he said, in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another from the heart fervently, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. See, it's the Word of God, when we follow it and its direction in what to do to be saved, that gives us new life. It's funny, as you look throughout the world, that there are all sorts of people that want to get close to God, or at least say they do, that are seeking God, that want to see God in the final day and be approved of Him and be with Him in eternity, be with Him in heaven. So there are a lot of people that say they want to do that, but what must we do to see God in that way? We've got to obey His Word. We have to obey His Word so that we can be pure in heart. And that doesn't involve, you know, inventing all sorts of things that human beings come up with that we do in religious services. But what it involves is listening to the Word of God and doing what He has said to do. So when we have a pure heart that's been cleansed in this way, then our words and our actions are going to reflect that inner purity. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, the wise man says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Your life will be lived according to what's in your heart. Out of your heart spring the issues of life. And so the things that you say, if your heart is pure, the things that you say will be pure. They will be good. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34, he's condemning people who are hypocrites. He says, "How can you, being evil, speak good things? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." See, it's what's in your heart that comes out of your mouth. And those who are pure in heart are going to speak that which is good. Jesus goes on in the next verse. This is Matthew 12 and verse 35. He says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things." People who are pure in heart, they're going to see God. But how can you tell if somebody's pure in heart? Well, one way is, how can you tell if you're pure in heart? How can I tell if I'm pure in heart? One way is what we say. Do we say good things? Because if your heart's right, your speech will be right. It will say that which is good. Your behavior will also be good. Jesus later says in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 18, "Those things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. They defile a man." In other words, if you say things that are evil, then your heart becomes defiled. But then he goes on to say, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. These are the things which defile a man. Where do they come from? Out of the heart. So these behaviors that he describes, such as murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, stealing things, bearing false witness, telling lies about stuff, all of that, all of those behaviors come out of the heart. And that's what defiles a person and defiles the heart. So what we're learning here is that if we want to have an idea about whether or not we're pure in heart, let's look at our words. Let's look at our actions, because they'll demonstrate whether or not our heart is pure. Striving to avoid sin and do right by others and with others of the same mindset is what the pure in heart will do. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, Paul tells Timothy to flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. See, good people do good things. They pursue righteousness and faith and love and peace. And those who are of a pure heart do good things with those who are of a pure heart. We pursue those things together. Again, there's this single-mindedness. There's this desire. What are we going to do in this life? Well, we're going to pursue godly things, things that please God. Because we have God in our heart, we want to see Him. And we're going to surround ourselves with others who have that same disposition of heart. We will avoid sin, spend time seeking that which is good with those who are good, and truly loving those people. You know, Peter had said to us in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, we read earlier, we purified our souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. So this brotherly love that we have in Christ is really a product of a pure heart. And if we want to know if our hearts are pure, we can just think about whether or not we truly love our brothers and sisters in Christ if you're a Christian. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. So a heart that's pure and true is going to love pure and true. And it's going to be genuinely pure in God's eyes. God doesn't look at human beings the way human beings look at each other. He sees us through and through. He knows all about us. When He gives His judgment or His estimation of who we are and what we are, He not only looks at what we say and do, but He can also look all the way through our hearts. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, the Bible says that the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. What is in your heart is the real you. It's who you actually are. In Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 19, the wise man said that as in water, the face reflects the face, so a man's heart reveals the man. You know, you look at, in water at your reflection or in the mirror at your reflection, and you know, well, that's what you look like. That's who you are physically. Spiritually, it's what's in your heart that is the reflection of who you are, really. And that's what God sees, what's in your heart. That heart needs to be pure. It needs to be purified in the way that we've talked about, purified through faith in obedience to the truth. And if it is purified through faith in obedience to the truth, what will happen is it will, your mouth will say the right things, your hands will do the right things. That's purity of heart. That's the purity of heart that Jesus wants you to have so that you can see God. That's the great promise that Jesus has made to us in this wonderful beatitude. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. On the final day of history, the last great day, at the time of judgment, every human being, all human beings of all time, will see God. That's not really what Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. He's talking about people who want to see God and have fellowship with Him, want to see God and be in His presence and know that God is pleased with them. But all of us are going to stand at the judgment day and see Him in that sense. We're all going to meet Him in that sense. Romans chapter 14 and verse 10, Paul is talking to Christians here. He says, why do you judge your brother? Why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, that every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each one shall give account of himself to God. Every last one of us is going to be there at the judgment seat of God, and we'll see God as the judge. To see Him, therefore, in this way is different from what Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. There, He's talking about see in the sense to experience His presence. To see God is to experience His presence. And as we've said already, we want to experience God's presence in this life, and there's a measure in which we can certainly do that, to have God in your life. And that, I think, is what the psalmist was talking about there in Psalm 24 and verse 3, where, again, he asked that question, who may ascend into the holy hill of God? Who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who's not lifted up his soul to an idol or sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. So the person who can enter into the presence of God is that person with the clean hands and the pure heart. And he's not someone who's an idolater, who's following the things of this world as his God, but he honors the God of heaven. He's not someone who swears deceitfully. This is a person who is faithful, who is true, who is honest. That's the person who can be in God's presence in this life, but also in the life to come. There are a couple of passages we want to look at before we close along that line, because again, our program is entitled The Way That Leads to Life. Eternal life is life in the presence of God for all eternity. It is life everlasting from the giver of life. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14 encourages us to pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Those who stand in God's presence for eternity must be those who are holy people. They also pursue peace. We'll talk about that next week when we talk about blessed are the peacemakers. But those who will see God are those who are holy. Secondly, those who will see God are those who have purified themselves. Look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. There the Apostle John writes, "Beloved, now we are the children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." You see what's being taught in that passage? What a wonderful hope it is that we have to be able to see God and to see the Lord just as he is. That's a tremendous hope. It's the hope of life everlasting, as we've been talking about. But the person who has that hope will make sure that he purifies himself just as he is pure. We want to live Christ-like lives. As we've talked about this morning in several ways, we want to purify ourselves and make sure that we're living pure lives if we're going to see God. That is our great hope, to see him in the end and to be like him in the end and forever. God is good. He's so good to us. He blesses us in so many ways. And the final and greatest blessing of all will be simply to stand in his presence, to look at his face, and to be looked upon by him with loving kindness for eternity. Psalm 73 and verse 1, "Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart." God is so good to those who are pure in heart. Well, we thank you for listening to our program today. We hope that the words we've shared with you will help you and encourage you to be pure in heart, to live a life that is pure in heart, so that you might see God. Again, we encourage you to visit us at the Eastside Church of Christ. Check us out online, especially if you're interested more in Bible study. We have some Bible correspondence courses available online. You can go to our website, eastside-church.org, eastside-church.org, and click on the Bible study banner there. We have a Bible correspondence course that is about Jesus and how to get to know him and obey him. We have another one that's on the Gospel of Mark, another one that's on the book of Acts. Several ways, Bible study tools there that you can sign up for and take those courses online or through the regular mail. Understand God's word a little bit better and follow it in your life so that indeed you can have purity of heart. Thank you for tuning in this morning. We encourage you as you live your life this week to strive to walk the way that leads to life.